Genesis chapter 25. As I said there a few moments ago, I want to preach today on the subject, the sons of Isaac. Look again with me, please, at Genesis 25, verse 21. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious word. We know that heaven and earth someday will pass away, but thy word will stand forever. We thank thee that thy word is forever settled in heaven. And O God, we believe that the Bible is the infallible, incorruptible, inerrant, inspired word of the living God. And O God, as we turn to the sacred page just now, we pray, Lord, that you would come and fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. We're so conscious, Lord, that we need thee. Therefore, we cast ourselves upon thee. Help us, Lord, only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. And take thy word and apply it to every heart. O God, as our faces differ, so do our needs. We pray, Lord, today that you would meet each and every one of us at the very point of our need. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Isaac became a father when he was 60 years of age. Rebekah, Isaac's wife, gave birth to twin boys. The names, of course, were Jacob and Esau. And they were the only children that Isaac and Rebekah had. The youngest of Isaac's son was Jacob. Later in life, he would know great blessing from God. However, Esau, the oldest son of Isaac, would choose a completely different road in life, which would end in disaster. Before these two sons were born, Rebekah had hard labor. The Bible says in verse 22 that the children struggled together within her. Rebekah was so perplexed that she cried unto the Lord and said, "Why am I thus?" The Lord quickly answered this prayer of Rebekah and revealed unto her for the first time that she would give birth to twin boys. Look at verse 23. And the Lord said, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels." And then the Lord went on to reveal something else to Rebekah. The elder shall serve the younger. In other words, Esau would serve Jacob. Jacob would become the greatest and most blessed of the two boys. And of course, as we read the record, the biblical record of the lives of these two sons of Isaac, God's word to Rebekah came to pass. Very simply, today at the close of our service, I want to draw your attention to these two sons of Isaac. And there's a number of things that I want you to notice. And I pray that as we turn to God's word and consider the sons of Isaac, that the Lord will come and speak to all of our hearts. I believe that there's a message here for each and every one of us. And I pray that we'll not miss God's message to our hearts. Isn't it wonderful that we can open up the Word of God and receive a word from the Lord? My, the Bible is indeed a tremendous book. Is it any wonder that the Bible declares that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable? And I pray today that God's Word will profit our hearts, profit our souls. Wouldn't it be terrible to come into God's house and leave God's house without a word from the Lord? Oh, I pray today that that will not be the case, but that the Lord will take His word and by His Holy Spirit apply it to our hearts and to our lives. What do we learn here about the sons of Isaac? Well, first of all, I want you to notice their privilege. Esau and Jacob were two young boys that were greatly, I say greatly, privileged. The privilege that Esau and Jacob had was that they were born into a godly home. Both Isaac and Rebekah loved the Lord. Let me emphasize that again. We have already noticed that in the course of these studies. But let me emphasize it in the context of our message today. Esau and Jacob were born into a godly home. Isaac and Rebekah were praying parents. Again, we have seen this already in the course of our studies. But take a look again at verses 21 and 22 of Genesis 25. It says, "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife." Here we have Isaac, and he's praying. And he's praying in a time of trouble. Look at the end of verse 22, and you'll see that Rebekah also brings this matter before the Lord. "And she went to inquire of the Lord." So we have two parents here who not only loved the Lord, but they believed in prayer. And they believed in seeking the face of God. Isaac and Rebekah also were parents of faith. Of course, you can't love the Lord unless you believe in the Lord. And both Isaac and Rebekah, there was a time in their lives when they were saved, when they trusted the Lord as their own and personal Redeemer. If you keep your hand in Genesis chapter 25 for a moment, turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. We have in this chapter, of course, the heroes of faith. And Isaac is mentioned as one of the heroes of faith. Verse 20, it says, "By faith, Isaac." So here we have a man whose faith was firmly fixed in the God of heaven. Let me say this. Isaac's faith was in the coming Messiah. Isaac's faith was in the God of heaven. As these two boys were being brought up in Isaac's home, they would have been taught the importance of faith in the blood of the Lamb. They would have been taught that salvation was only through the blood of the Lamb, and that a holy God would not accept any sinner apart from the sacrifice of the Lamb. Therefore, both Esau and Jacob knew from their earliest days God's way of redemption, because they heard about the coming Messiah from the lips of their parents. I believe that Isaac would have related to his sons the incident concerning himself on Mount Moriah. We've already dealt with the sacrifice of Isaac. But I believe that Isaac would have related that story to his sons, and the importance of the substitutionary work of the Lamb. And of course, if you're familiar with that story, and I know you are, you know that God provided a lamb, and Isaac did not have to be sacrificed, that the lamb took Isaac's place. And of course, that was a picture of the coming Messiah, a picture of the coming Christ. You see, I believe that those who were saved in the Old Testament were saved exactly the same way as those who were saved in the New Testament. The only difference was this. Those who were saved in the Old Testament looked forward to Christ coming and dying on the cross for their sins. Those in the New Testament look back, and we today look back to Christ having died upon the cross for our sins. But the Old Testament saints, their faith was in the Redeemer. Their faith was in the Savior. Just like you and I today who are saved, our faith is in the Savior. Because, friend, there's only one Savior. There's only one Redeemer. Because neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And also Isaac would have been familiar with Genesis 3 verse 15, the first promise of the coming Messiah that we have in the Bible. Oh, men and women, we have a wonderful book. And Isaac would have related these wonderful stories and these wonderful promises to his two sons. So we have two young boys born into the same family who were taught at their earliest days their great need of God's salvation. And they were taught from their earliest days their need of the Messiah. Men and women, one of the greatest blessings in this world is to be born into a Christian home where your parents are saved and love the Lord. No child is more privileged than the child that is born into a home where both mother and father are walking with God. To be taught from childhood that Jesus Christ is the only Redeemer and that all hope is lost outside of faith in Christ's finished work on the cross is a privilege that only salvation itself can surpass. No one can be saved without a knowledge of the truth of the gospel. But to have that knowledge taught to you from your childhood by your parents is a blessing more valuable than all the wealth of this world. And I would say to young people in the church this Lord's Day, never despise your Christian parents. And never despise the instruction from God's word that they give you. What a privilege, what an honor to be born into a Christian home. It was a privilege that I never had. When I was born into this world, my mother and my father were not saved. I was not brought up in a Christian home. I had the privilege of being taught the things of God from my mother and father's knee. But I know that there are many in this church, and you have that privilege. Oh, never despise it, and always remember the commandment in Exodus chapter 20, which declares, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And of course, in the New Testament, when the apostle Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, this is what Paul says in Ephesians 6 verse 1 concerning children, concerning young people born into Christian homes. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. What a privilege. What a privilege. I wonder today, those of you who have been born into Christian homes and have godly parents, do you recognize the privilege? Do you recognize the great blessing that God has bestowed upon you? Listen, there are boys and girls being born into homes this very day. And they're being born into drunkards' homes. They're being born into homes where the Bible will never be opened, where prayer will never be offered. Oh, what an honor. What a privilege. But there's something else that I want you to notice here. Turn back again to Genesis chapter 25. This home that Esau and Jacob was born into was not perfect. It was not perfect. Although Isaac and Rebekah were God-fearing people, they were not perfect. They made mistakes. Now, I wonder, have you ever noticed their mistakes? Well, let's notice them, just for a moment. First of all, Isaac and Rebekah had favorites among their sons. Did you notice that? Take a look at verse 28. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Isaac's favorite among these boys was Esau. Rebekah's favorite among these boys was Jacob. This favoritism was wrong, I believe. And it was going to bring big trouble into this family. Also, and you'll be aware of this, I'm sure, Rebecca told Jacob to lie and deceive his father. Now, we're not going to turn to the portion of Scripture, but if you're taking notes, this can be seen in Genesis 27, verses 6 to 13. And in that portion of Scripture, Rebecca inspired Jacob to defile himself by going in before Isaac to defraud Esau of his father's blessing. But the point I want to make is this, that Rebecca inspired Jacob to lie to his father. Mistakes were made. This home was a godly home, but it was not a perfect home. You know, Christian parents, there's a lesson here for you and I. And I don't want you to miss the lesson. Although we are saved, we're not perfect. But let us love all our children equally. And let us pray that we never put a stumbling block before them. And let us pray that our mistakes will be few. We're going to make mistakes. One of the hardest things in the Christian life is bringing up children. Make no mistake about that. And those who have no children need to be very slow to judge those who have. It's not easy to bring up a family in this 21st century. And the truth is, we are only but sinners saved by grace. And even godly Christian parents can make mistakes. But oh, let us pray day by day, child of God, Christian parents, that the mistakes that we make will be few. God in His Word instructs the fathers and the mothers to love their children and to bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Let me just read you Ephesians 6 and verse 4, speaking about Christian fathers. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. My, if there's a day when we need to seek to instruct our children in the things of God, then it's this day and age in which we live. They may not listen. They may not heed you. But nevertheless, we have the responsibility to seek to teach them the things of God, whether they listen or not. There's a wonderful little verse in Titus chapter 2. Just turn over to it. Underline it in your Bible. Titus 2 is speaking about the mother. In verse 4, it says, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. It doesn't say there that you're to pick one out as a favorite and love him. That's what Rebecca did. I tell you, that's what Isaac did. And what it says here, that the mother and the father, let us apply it to both, are to love their children, to love all of their children. Oh, child of God, I pray today that God's word will not be lost upon us. God has blessed us with children. Let us remember that we are to give our children to the Lord. We are to pray for them. We are to instruct them in the things of God. We have here the privilege that Esau and Jacob had. But I want you to notice something else here. I want you to notice, turn back again to Genesis chapter 25. I want you to notice their problem. Esau and Jacob had a problem. What was their problem? Their problem was sin. Both of these boys were born in sin and shaping in iniquity. Although they both were born into a godly home, they were both born with a sinful nature. Take a look there at verse 27. I want you to underline the first four words. It says this, and the boys grew. This statement is speaking only of their physical growth. Nothing is said here about their spiritual growth. Why? Because neither of these boys had trusted in their father's God as yet, nor had they trusted in their mother's Savior as yet. Men and women, being born into a Christian home does not make you a Christian. Some people believe that because they're born into a Christian country, now whatever that is, that they're automatically a Christian. And if they go to church and are baptized as an infant, then they become a Christian. No, no. And just because you've been born into a Christian home and go to a Christian church that preaches the gospel and maybe even are brought up in a Christian school, that doesn't make you a Christian. Young people, being taught the truth from your father and mother's knees does not mean that you're a child of God. It just means that you're a privileged baby, a privileged young man or a privileged young woman. All of us are born in sin. Whether we're born into a Christian home or whether we're born into a drunkard's home. And that sin, if it is not dealt with, will bring us to hell. Even from a Christian home. And even those who are taught the gospel from childhood need their sins forgiven. You know, this can be seen very clearly in the life of young Timothy. Just turn over for a moment to 2 Timothy chapter 1 for a moment. Timothy, of course, was brought up in a Christian home. Certainly his mother was a godly woman and his grandmother was a godly woman. It says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, we have Timothy's privilege. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice. There we have the Apostle Paul drawing our attention to the fact that Timothy's mother and grandmother were saved. They loved the Lord. And of course, they had taught Timothy the scriptures. And they sought to bring him up in the things of the Lord. Look at chapter 3 there of 2 Timothy, and look with me there at verse 15. Paul could go on and say to Timothy, and not from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. So Timothy's mother and Timothy's grandmother taught him the word of God. What a privilege. That's what we're dealing with. The privilege of those born into Christian homes. Timothy had such a privilege. But Timothy was a sinner. Because he was born in sin and shaping in iniquity. And although he had a godly mother and a godly grandmother, he still needed to be saved. He still needed his sins forgiven. And of course he got saved. Because turn over there to 1 Timothy and the chapter 1 and take a look at verse 2. Timothy was saved through the preaching of the Apostle Paul. When the Apostle Paul came to where Timothy lived, the gospel was preached in power, and it's through the ministry of Paul that Timothy got saved. Paul could say here, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. And of course that little phrase, my own son in the faith, just simply means that Paul had the privilege and joy of pointing Timothy to the Lord. Young person, you've been born into a Christian home. And you have had the privilege of being brought up under the sound of the gospel. Are your sins forgiven? Are you saved? Just don't take it for granted that you're a Christian because you've been brought up in privileged circumstances. You're not going to get into heaven because you come to this church. And you're not going to get into heaven because you've been born into a Christian home. And you're certainly not going to get into heaven because you have the privilege of going to a Christian school. No, you need to experience the new birth. There must be a day in your life when you come as a sinner to Jesus and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Redeemer. As far as Timothy was concerned, there had to be that day in his life when he experienced regeneration. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." And my friend, no matter who you are today, no matter how privileged you are this afternoon, you need to experience sins forgiven. And you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Redeemer. And thank God today you can. Because the Lord Jesus has died upon the cross and he has shed his precious blood for your sins and my sins. And the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Can you look back to a day in your life when you were saved? When your life was changed by the power of God? Not enough just knowing the scripture in your head. Timothy knew the scripture in his head. Jacob and Esau knew about a coming Redeemer, about a coming Messiah. But they were born in sin. And the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now there's one final thing, and I know time's away. Not only their privilege, not only their problem, but I want you to notice their pathway. Esau and Jacob, in life, eventually took two completely different pathways. Now this is important. Esau's pathway was the pathway of the Christ rejecter. Esau, instead of listening to the counsel of his godly parents, rejected the God of his father and mother, sold his birthright, and chose to walk in the way of the world. And at the end of life, he died and he went to hell. Take a look at the end of verse 34 of Genesis chapter 25. "Thus Esau despised his birthright." Now turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. This is very important. Look at verse 16 and 17 of Hebrews chapter 12. "Lest there be any fornicator or profound person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." Esau rejected the Messiah. He rejected the God of heaven. He rejected the instruction that his parents give him, his Christian godly parents. And he ended up in hell. On the other hand, Jacob's pathway was the pathway of grace. Although Jacob, like Esau, was born in sin and was sinful in his life for a number of years, God, by his grace, saved Jacob and he became a great man of faith. And at the end of his life, he went to be with the Lord in heaven for all eternity. Now let me just read you Hebrews chapter 11 verse 21, because it speaks about the faith of Jacob. By faith, Jacob. So Jacob there also is mentioned in the role of the honor of the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. That verse teaches us clearly that Jacob got saved, that there was a day in Jacob's life when he repented of his sin and trusted in the Messiah, the coming Messiah, and in the God of glory. All their pathways were completely different, but what do we learn here? We learn this: being born into a Christian home does not mean that you're going to get into heaven. Heaven can only be gained when we are saved by grace through faith. And even those who are brought up in godly homes can end up in hell. My friend, that's a very solemn thought. That's a very solemn thought. But that's what we learn here when we study the sons of Isaac. Esau went to hell. Jacob went to heaven. One was saved and one was lost. They had the same privileges. They heard the same message. They were taught in the scriptures by their father and their mother. They knew about the coming Messiah. But one was lost and one was saved. Even those who are brought up in godly homes can end up in a lost eternity. Can I remind you again of the home of David? King David, the man after God's own heart. Can I remind you about Absalom? Absalom died and went to a lost eternity. Although he was born and brought up in the home and household of David. And when Absalom died, we read these very solemn words in verse 33 of 2 Samuel chapter 18. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, "O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son." David was in much distress because his son had died, and any father would be. But friend, he wasn't weeping just because his son had died. He was weeping also because he knew his son had died and went to hell. Oh, Christian parents, no point in weeping after our children are dead. We need to weep now. Now's the time for weeping. Now's the time for crying unto God. My, if there's a day and age when Christian parents need to pray more for their children, it is today. We need to pray for our children. We need to pray that God saves them. We need to pray that God works in their heart. We need not take it for granted that just because they've been brought up in the things of God, that automatically they're going to be saved and get into heaven. Unless they experience the new birth, they will be in the same hell as those who live and die and have never heard of Christ, the mighty to save. Oh, I pray that God will take His word and write it upon our hearts. We're at the dawn of a new year. Great responsibilities lie upon us. Oh, let us not neglect to bring up our children in the things of God. And at least at the end of life, at least on the judgment day, we'll be able to look the Lord in the eye and say, "Lord, I have done all I can. I did all I could." Oh, let us pray that God will work in our hearts for His dear name's sake. May God bless these few thoughts to your hearts today. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee. And we praise Thee for Thy precious word. We thank Thee, Lord, for all Your blessings to us. And we thank Thee for grace. We thank Thee for the grace of God. And we know, Lord, that was the difference between Jacob and Esau, was the grace of God. And Lord, we're so conscious that's the only difference between us and this congregation today. Those who are saved by grace and those who are not. Oh God, we thank Thee for Thy grace and for Thy mercy. For Thy love, I pray, Lord, that You would unite family circles in Christ. I pray, Lord, for husbands who are not saved, that You would save them. Wives who are not saved in homes, that You would save them. Children who are not saved in homes, save them. Parents who are not saved in homes, Lord, save them. Oh God, come. Send us a breath of revival. Help us to realize, Lord, that it's not just enough to know the word. It's not just enough to be educated and instructed in the word. To have the knowledge of the truth in our heads, we need it in our hearts. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. O God, may we know Thee in a personal way. Lord, bless us, we pray Thee. And Lord, quicken us by Your gracious Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.